You're listening to Unexpecting, the podcast bringing you real conversations from those of us who have suffered pregnancy and infant loss. With comfort and hope for the future, I'm your host, Ashley Bitterman. Today, I'm sitting down with Lauren as she recounts the harrowing details of learning that her fate required a medical termination at 23 weeks pregnant, and the events that followed as she raced against the clock to have this devastating, painful procedure performed before the state would forbid her from doing so.
So, Lauren, I am so especially excited to talk to you because our stories are so similar, and we even had the exact same due date of October 27th, mm-hmm. which is crazy. So I'm so glad that you're willing to open up and talk with me, because I really feel like we can relate to each other and find some points of connection. But before we dive in, let's start with 1, 2, 3. So one thing you cannot live without, 2 of your all-time favorite movies, and 3 celebrities you want to have dinner with.
Ooh, 1. Okay, an item I can't live without. Can I go with my dogs?
I hope you do go with that, because that would be my answer.
My 2 dogs, Penny and Bubba. They're rescues. They're like our loves. Yeah, so definitely could not live without them. And I don't even want to think about the gray hair that my dog's getting on her face right
now. Yeah, my dog is going to be 15.
Okay. Yeah.
And my husband is well aware that Sophie comes first and he comes second, and he inherited her, which he's probably less than thrilled about, because he's not a dogs in the bed person and I am very much a dogs in the bed person. Uh-huh. But yeah, I'm with you. She's the one thing I can't live without either. And don't get me started on age, because I probably should never have gotten her, because I'm not going to deal well
with it. I like watched all these sad dog movies and I'm like, oh, why do I do this to myself?
I can't watch The Lion King. Like, I cannot watch things like that. I don't do well with it.
Oh yeah, so definitely couldn't live without them. And then 2, gosh, this is gonna be embarrassing, Blue Crush.
Oh wow, throwback
classic. I think I watched that movie probably 1,000 times and I could quote all of it. And then 2, Good Will Hunting.
Oh, okay. Different genre, but great.
Very, very polar opposite movies. And then 2 or 3 celebrities?
3 celebrities.
Okay. Matt Damon. Cause obviously, yep, goes with the theme. RIP, but Robin Williams.
Oh.
My dad like really reminded me of him. And my dad passed away too a couple of years ago. So, oh,
wow.
Yeah, but love all of his movies and his like personality. And then 3, not Renee Zellweger. Sorry. Reese Witherspoon.
Okay.
Love Same her.
Yes. Wow. Good. Thoughtful choices.
Really had to dig deep there.
Yeah, that would be a good dinner. I would attend.
Oh, good. How can we make this happen?
Yeah. So I'd love to know just a little bit more about you and what your life was like growing up. Did religion play any role in your life?
Mm-hmm. No. We did not really grow up in a church or anything like that. Had the most amazing childhood. I was a springboard diver for years, traveled across the country diving in competitions, and eventually was recruited for a couple of colleges. The summer before my freshman year, I decided that I didn't want to dive anymore. I was just like, I kind of want to just do something that I'm passionate about because I had lost like all of my passion for diving, just overwork. Then I finally figured out that I wanted to go to school for fashion. So I went to FITM, ended up working in LA for like 6 years. And then finally got a job in buying with Quiksilver and Roxy, and then met my husband, and we have been together for almost 9 years this December.
Wow.
Yeah. So we met at a Christmas party. It was like fate, basically went on one date and we were like in love with each other. Moved in 8 months later.
Wow.
Yeah. Prior to this, my dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor. So,
oh, goodness.
Yeah. So went through pretty difficult time there. And, you know, my husband was my backbone for all of that. And sorry, it's like I still get emotional about that.
But when was that?
So we lost him 6 years ago in May.
So yeah. Sorry, that's so hard.
Yeah. And he was like the greatest human ever. So I think when we went through this, you know, I've been through some like pretty crazy things in my life. My husband and I were in the shooting in Las Vegas at the Route 91 music festival. Yeah.
You serious?
Yeah. So we, you know, ran for our lives and somehow survived. So like definitely have been through some trauma. And I don't know, everyone is always tells you like, you're so strong, you're so strong. And I'm just like, well, I appreciate that, but I don't know. Did people telling you that you're so strong for what you went through, like help you?
But it's funny because it's not strong when you don't have a choice.
Exactly. So anywho, but yeah, lost my dad, went through that. And then my husband and I got married back in 2019. You know, I think my husband's always wanted kids.
How long after you got married were you like, or did you decide to start trying?
Yes. Yeah. I got off of birth control, finally had a normal period. And I think it was November. Like it was never the same time, never, like it was just so sporadic. Hmm. I was like, okay, finally from, I think it was from October to November, it was like on the same, you know, 28 days.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, well, that's good. Like, it feels like I'm starting to get normalized. And then December came and I didn't get it. Mm. Just didn't get it at all. And so I was like, oh God, like, am I pregnant already? Like, what is going on? So I took a pregnancy test and no, not pregnant. So then January came and same thing happened, like never got it. And I was like, okay, let's try this again. Take another pregnancy test. Okay. Didn't, not pregnant. And then finally February comes and I'm like, okay, what, something is going on. Like I need to do this. And then I need to go to my gynecologist because yeah. I'm worried that this is like, I had something happen like this to me when I was, I don't even know, probably like 21. And I just did not get my period for 6 months. It was just, so I was like, oh no, is this happening again? And so then take the pregnancy test, both come back positive, like super quickly.
Oh my gosh.
So then I told my husband and he was like, so happy, like the happiest I've ever seen him. And he was just like, no, like, are you serious? It was just so sweet.
Did you announce your pregnancy to family and friends?
So we did not tell anyone until I was about 8 I want to say 8 weeks, we told my mom, his parents, and then my brother and his fiance at the time. And then it was literally just immediate family members. And they were just so excited for us. My husband's sister had a baby in December, and then his brother's wife, our sister-in-law, was pregnant as well at the time. And so it was just like this whole like overwhelming, like, oh my God, like, this is so fun. We're all going to have babies. Like we do stuff all the time together. We go out to Palm Springs with them. Like our babies are going to grow up together. They're going to be within a year of each other. So it was just like, you know, that whole like buildup of this is so exciting.
How far along were you when you found out something was wrong?
So this is the crazy part is when I first took the pregnancy test, and I thought that, oh gosh, I'm far along. I called the doctor. I went in immediately to them because they were like, oh my gosh, like if our dates are correct and the last normal period you had was in November, like you could be like 4 months, you know? So I went, that first time he was like, okay, you're only like 5 weeks. And he made my, due date November 2nd. So then, you know, I was going like what, every 3 weeks. And then it got to the time where it was the, between 10 and 13, 10 and 12, where you go and you decide if you want the NIPT or the just basic. And my doctor was like, okay, you're 31, you're healthy, you don't have any family history of anything. I don't really recommend you get the NIPT, just get the basic one. And I was like, oh, okay. So I did that. And then I remember like kind of just like thinking about it. And I was like, he never told me the results of that. Like, I don't know if they give you your results or what the deal is. So anyway, kept going in, for the normal, you know, normal, heartbeat, heard the heartbeat, did all that stuff. And then it came to the 19 week where you go and you do your blood test and then your ultrasound,
the anatomy
scan.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I went and I had the, you know, where you can see the red and the blue.
Yes.
I don't know if you had that one, but I don't know if everyone has that because I talked to a couple of people and they didn't recall having that, but
really I'm what they call geriatric pregnancy.
Okay.
Very attractive term. So
is that even?
It's like, if you're, know. I'm like just 35.
If you're 35 or over.
Now I'm like a senior citizen.
Exactly.
But I had to do like NIPT, and maybe it's because of that, they just did all this testing.
Yeah. So, when I went in to do the ultrasound, I only had the ultrasound tech in there. I didn't have a doctor. Mm-hmm. So she's going on my stomach and, you know, we're talking and laughing and, you know, talking about the baby. The baby was asleep when she first started. So she had to wake it up, and it was the cutest thing ever. And so she's, you know, going around and she's kind of quiet for a couple of minutes. And she goes, this is so weird. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, what? Like, that verbiage was terrifying. And I was like, what's weird? And she was like, I can't find where your umbilical cord inserts into the placenta. And I was like, what? Like, what does that mean? And she was like, well, there's this thing called velamentous cord insertion, And she was like, I think that that's what I'm picking up on your scan. And I'm like, what? I'm sorry, what is that? Like, and I'm starting to like have the mask on. I'm starting to like tear up because this was the first doctor's appointment where my husband wasn't with me. Ugh. Just because I was like, oh, I don't think, I don't know if you can come to this one. I had never really, or I had been to the office before, but I felt like they were a little bit strict with it. So I was like, okay, it'll be fine. Like, I'm just going to go by myself. So I'm sitting there after she tells me this and she goes, but don't go home and like Google that. And I was like, okay, what? And so
she leaves
me with that. So she walks out of the office with me and she's like, we're going to need you to come back next week when the doctor's in the office. And I was like, okay. Like anything else that you can tell me? And so immediately, like, she was just like, nope, we're going to get you on. You're the first appointment. So I'm like, okay, this is serious. So I walk down to the car and I'm just like full, like waterworks. And the first thing I did was I called my mom. Because I was like, I can't call my husband in this, like this way, because I didn't want to freak him out. I don't even know what this means. So I called her and I'm just like bawling and she immediately thought the worst. I was like, no, it's okay. It's okay. I think it's okay. I don't know. So I told her and she was like, okay, you need to call John and then we'll just figure it out. And so I finally called him and just kind of told him, and he was at work and I felt like horrible because I literally said this and I'm like, but I don't have any information for you. So then immediately after I called my gynecologist or OB and I told him, I was like, hi, I was just at the ultrasound. They told me that I have velamentous cord insertion. What is that? And he's like, okay, like calm down. It's okay. It just, you know, it means that your pregnancy is going to be a little bit different than another pregnancy. But he was like, let's get you into the office tomorrow just so we can have a conversation. He said, you need to see the ultrasound doctor the following week. And then we'll have more information and you will come into my office right after that appointment. And so I was just like, all right, so I'm going to have to sit on this for a week. Like, that's essentially what you're telling me. And he's like, yes, but I don't want you to panic because many babies have been completely fine with this. So just don't panic. And so lived with that for a week and then got a call from him on Monday. I was supposed to go in on Tuesday, I believe. And he said, hey, you're going to need to come in today. We've received your results back from the blood work. Ugh. And so I was like, okay. So
did you know, I mean, that doesn't nothing. Sound great.
No, that was terrifying. I was like, okay, this sounds like something's wrong, you know, just like automatically, not gut feeling, not good. So, we go in, he tells us there's a 1 in 4 chance that the blood results came back, 1 in 4 chance for Down syndrome. And he reassured me that it's probably not right. Like, that's probably not right. And he was like, you know, this comes back a lot of times. And he was like, it could be from this velamentous cord issue, because placenta issues, whatever. So I was like, okay, like, you're not helping me here.
Yeah, like, what am I supposed to do with that?
What am I supposed to do with that? So we have the information. My husband's really good friend's dad is a really well-known OB in LA. And so the first thing we did was call him. He also was just like, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about that. He was like, I would though, you know, tomorrow with the velamentous cord insertion, kind of get more information, obviously. And he was like, because it can turn into worse things. The next day we go into the other guy, and our family friend's dad, he also was just like, also just get the amniocentesis when you're there tomorrow, just get it. You're going to want to know.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, like, you're right. I do feel like that's something that I would just want to know to prepare myself for. So went there and realized that this guy was not state board approved to give an amniocentesis. Yeah. So I was just like, why are we here? We're wasting our time. This was, I think, 20 weeks, you know? So I think 19 was when we went for the scan. It was like 20 weeks. And then this guy just literally could not tell me anything besides the fact, yes, you do have velamentous cord insertion. Here it is. We can see this. And you're showing soft signs for Down syndrome, calcium on the heart, and like a oblong, or not oblong, but oval shaped head when he did the measurements. So then he said, okay, call these people. They're in Long Beach. So we called them up. The next appointment wasn't until a week and a half later.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like just thinking about this timeline of things, because, you know, our friend's father had said, if there's anything that comes up, he's like, just know that in California, you have to, before 24 weeks, you would have to make a decision if that's what it comes to. And I was just like, okay. So a week and a half later, I mean, and we called every single place in LA, like it, around us, to try and get an appointment. And finally, like the earliest we could get was this place called Magella. And so ended up going there, and then, you know, met with a genetics counselor, and then met with the doctor, and the doctor, you know, did another ultrasound, and he found that I had vasa previa, which comes from velamentous cord insertion, but it's where the umbilical cord, the blood vessels are exposed, and they line your cervix and then go into the placenta. So if I were to go into labor, the baby would bleed out.
Oh my gosh.
So it was just like, okay, like, all right, what does this mean for us? Like, what do you foresee happening? And he was just like, you know, let's do the amniocentesis. But he was just like, you would have to at least be admitted into the hospital, you know, 3 weeks before your due date. And it could be possibly, you know, bed rest. I was essentially on like walking bed rest from the time that the vasa previa was, or not vasa previa, the velamentous cord insertion was found. So like no activity. Like I could walk with my husband as he walked our dogs, you know, just that kind of stuff. No strenuous activity, no sex. So we did the amnio, and they told us that it comes back in like 7 to 10 days.
Ugh.
The results on that. And so finally, we just kind of, you know, had a conversation about it. And we were just like, we can deal with this. We can do it. Like if our baby has Down syndrome, our baby has Down syndrome, and we can do this. But then it came to this, the other stuff, where it was like, okay, we're already seeing calcium on the heart. We're not sure what's going to happen for your baby. And, you know, obviously that's terrifying. So we got the results back on a think it was a Thursday evening, and came back, yes, positive for Down syndrome. So we then called our family friend's doctor, our family friend that's a doctor, and kind of laid it all out for him. And he said, you know, this is really, really risky for not only the baby, but for you. And then the doctor at Magella kind of didn't have anything really positive to say. He was like, you know, come week 28 or 27, I forget which week you're in your third trimester, come third trimester, you're going to have to come in twice a week for, you know, heart monitoring. So with this, with velamentous cord insertion and vasa previa, you know, your baby is not getting it, since it's so exposed, you don't know if they're going to get the nutrients. Everything's coming from your umbilical cord, from the umbilical cord and the placenta. And so it was just like, you know, it may be okay, it may not. And so we were out of town that weekend. And then the 4th of July was that weekend. And on Tuesday, we, you know, basically just realized, had come to the, you know, a decision, I guess, I don't know what to call it, that we were going to go forward with the DME, just because all of these, you know, anomalies that were going on. So
what were conversations like with your husband when you were trying to make this quote unquote decision?
Devastating. I mean, the hardest conversations you'll ever have, you know? I think we had just been like, all right, we're gonna like go through with this. And I was like, okay, going through with it, even though it wasn't something that could potentially be, you know, good for either of us. Just because I don't know. It's like when you're 50-50 on it, you always think of that, like, oh my God, what if she is okay? You know, we know that she'll have Down syndrome, but what if she is okay and she'll never have a normal life, because they were already saying that, you know, heart stuff and probably a life in and out of a hospital. And we had conversations about, you know, our relationship and could we do that? You know, that's like the biggest test that you could ever put on your relationship. And were we strong enough people? And so, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and crying and saying we can do this, and then the next hour it's like, I don't think we can do this. And then, you know, when we finally made the decision together, we knew that it had to be one that we didn't regret ever, you know, because I couldn't live with that, you know. It was just like, I don't want to look back on this and be like, oh my God, I did something wrong, and have to sit with that forever. And so when we finally made that decision, I had to start calling. And the craziest thing to me, I don't know if you experienced this, was I had to do everything on my own, or my husband doing it. Like, no one held our hand and was like, hey, like, you need to call this person. You need to call this person. Like, this is how this is going to go. Like, the genetics counselor kind of gave a little bit of that, but like, we called 20 places. I swear 20 places that day on Tuesday, because my timeline was so tight. Yep. It had to be that week. And so I mean, I called countless places. I was about to go to a Planned Parenthood, which no shame in that, but I just wanted to be in a hospital because that scared me.
Yep.
So I got an appointment with Planned Parenthood, and then I finally got a hold of a medical center, and they said, okay, I think we can squeeze you in. Please have your doctor scan over all of the, you know, all of the freaking like 100 pages of paperwork for me. Oh. So I got on their books to go in on Wednesday at, I think it was at 2. And I was so grateful when she told me that she could get me in, because I, you know, terrifying. So got on the books for 2, and then, you know, Tuesday night was a wreck. Then Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. she called me and she said, we can't do it because you, your paperwork is showing you're further along than you had said you were. And I was like, no, that can't be right. And basically, from the first ultrasound, that showed that my due date was 11/2. Every other scan since then showed October 27th. So they were going off all these other ones, and they said, we can't do it. Oh, you're too late. And so I was just like, oh my God, like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And so got off the phone with them and then started calling San Francisco, because I had heard that there's possibility that they would do a little bit of a later one. Called New Mexico and Colorado, because they go until, I think it was like 28 weeks. And then I called my doctor, my OB, and I was just like, you are ruining my life. Like, I've gone through all of this, and now you're sending incorrect paperwork, and you were wrong the entire time.
Oh my gosh.
And so he was like, no, like, I'm going to make this right. I'm going to make this right. I'll call her immediately. So somehow they were able to take it off that first scan and rebook me.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, it's like your emotions are just like, I was just like, I'm done. Like, I can't
do this. Yeah, because you finally come to terms, or probably not yet, but you're coming to terms with this decision that you've made, and you feel like this is the right move. And then to be told that, oh, wait, no, it's going to be the other decision.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just like one of the most stressful and like sad and crazy days ever. And I went in that day, and I had 3 female doctors, which I wish I had a female doctor the whole time, because the compassion that was there was unlike anything I had ever experienced with this male OB. And they, you know, went through everything with me, and, you know, just kind of laid out, well, also just told me, you didn't have a choice. This was not a choice. Like, we want you to know that. We've read all of your paperwork. This was not a choice. So
that's so reassuring. And
yeah. And unfortunately, I think that's what these women specialize in, is this, she does this procedure only.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, we did the dilators, you know, had, I think there were 8 inside. So
was that
night was,
was that the most excruciating experience for you?
I don't even know, honestly. Like, I think that my brain has now come, like, you know, when they say it's bad to like not feel things, like you're supposed to feel pain, because you're going through a painful time. That's what your brain is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened, because I felt uncomfortable, of course, because I just felt like I had, and then, you know, when I could feel her kicking, and then not. So that was very, very difficult. And just the fact that you're like, you know, going to sleep at night and you know that you have a dead baby, your baby's dead inside of you. Mm-hmm. So that was extremely difficult, but the pain, I don't know what my brain does anymore. So the next day, my surgery was supposed to be at, I want to say like 1. Something was going on at the hospital. I didn't get in until I think 8 p.m.
Oh.
So we sat there for hours just in the, you know, in the waiting room at the hospital, in the lobby at the hospital. And then they finally called us up and I, you know, they came in and they were so sweet. She like held my hand and she was like, okay, like, it's okay. We're going to take good care of you. And we're going to take good care of her. And, you know, everything's going to be okay. So took me back for the surgery. I had a lot of bleeding because my one part of my uterus didn't clamp. So they ended up keeping me overnight in the hospital because I was losing a lot of blood. And they wanted to, you know, monitor. So my poor husband, I mean, that night for him, I know was, he told me, he was like, this is the worst night of my life, just not knowing if you were okay, because COVID, he couldn't come up to see me. And they had his, I think his phone had literally that week broke. So when I initially put his phone number in, it was his phone number, but he had his work phone. And so after, it was just like, they called, or the doctor went down and saw him and she was like, hey, you know, Lauren's been bleeding for the last hour. We still have her in the OR. It's okay. Like, we're just trying to figure out what we need to do. So just wait here. And then an hour later, they came back down and they're like, wait, we need to keep her overnight. And so he was just like, so I just drove home and I like laid in bed all night with the dogs. And I just was, you know, when can I come get her? Like, when can I go see her? And they said, okay, well, the hospital, the earliest they would let her out is maybe 5 a.m. So he got up in the morning, was there at 5, and then they let me out at 11 that day.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, it was just one of the worst experiences. But, you know, right now we're trying to, you know, stay positive and hope that the next time it's, you know, it's right and it's, you know, but who knows?
Yeah.
I think that's what the scary part is now, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's true. We are also trying to be hopeful and optimistic and feel like that happened and the next time we'll be okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, do we try to stay as positive as possible?
Absolutely.
So when you reached out to me, you told me that you hadn't really shared what happened to you with that many people because you said that you felt like if you could just tell people you had a miscarriage, it would be more understood.
Mm-hmm.
So like, how do you try to deal with the trauma that you experienced, but also have the feeling of needing to hide what actually happen to you from people.
Yeah, I think that's so hard because you know, like, just the fact that it's called an abortion is probably the craziest thing ever because it was so wanted. And I just, it makes me sad that I feel like, you know, that somebody is going to hear that and think that, oh, they didn't want that baby, or hear our story and not completely understand, like, this was, it just wasn't right. And I try and, like, think about people judging me about that. And I had a conversation with my husband because he struggles with it too. You know, trying, not wanting to tell people exactly what happened just for, you know, judgment. But I also reminded him that, A, do you know anyone that's, you know, do you know anyone that has a baby with Down syndrome, or B, a baby that they will be, you know, taking care of the rest of their lives? And he said, no. And I said, okay, so then either they've never been through it, or they've been through it and they're afraid to say something as well. And so I mean, it sucks that you have to feel this way. Because I think I'm a pretty open person. I'm not one to hold back on, you know, the way that I feel or, you know, my beliefs. It's just hard. I, like, still to this day, you know, I just, for judgment, I don't want to be judged, and I don't want people to think negatively of us. And that's also kind of silly too, because at the end of the day, you know, we did what was best for us and what was best for her. And, you know, she's with my dad now in a better place, and I know that he's taking care of her. So I just, you know, it's just shitty.
Does knowing that she's with your dad bring you comfort?
Yes. Like, we talked about that a lot after we had made the decision, you know, she's going to see my dad, and he would have been the best grandpa. So he's up there taking care of her, you know. But definitely getting therapy, because Lord knows we all should probably be getting therapy, but it's been so helpful in just talking about it, and we're talking about the other trauma too. Just, it's a lot. So
I can't believe how much you've been through in such a short amount of time. It's crazy to think about how you're still seem such, like, a vibrant, positive person. And, you know, we talked earlier about what is strength, and maybe that's the strength, in that you didn't have a choice to go through all this trauma, but the way that you handle it and you present yourself every day is where your strength comes in. Because I feel like if people just meet you the way I just met you, they don't know, they wouldn't be able to tell the pain that you've experienced. And you are still able to radiate light, which I think that right there is the strength.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I've always been a pretty positive person, and I try and be, you know, the light in everyone's life. And you don't even know how much I appreciate you sharing your story. And my mom showed it to me, and she was just like, it's very odd how similar your stories are, but just, you know, she was like, I want to let you know, like, this is what it's about. So you can choose to read it or not, because, you know, still a little sensitive. So I read it and I was just like, wow, to know that you have been, to know that there's somebody else that's been through this. It's comforting to know that you now are wanting to try again. And just because it's scary, I just can't, I know that you've also had struggles getting pregnant, and I didn't go through that. So I can only imagine how much more difficult that is as well. So just, I really admire you, and I'm so grateful that you shared that, because I would still to this day just think, oh, no one's really been through anything like that. Like when people say, you know, that, oh, you know, my friend had a miscarriage too, I had a miscarriage, I'm of course like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I have so much compassion. It's just like, oh God, you don't understand. Like, you don't understand. You didn't feel your baby kicking. You didn't, I don't know. You probably didn't have a name. You didn't, you know, there's so many things that when you're that far along, you're feeling, and you're 6 months of being pregnant. And the fact that we somehow are going to be able to like pick up and move forward. And I just, it's pretty incredible what we can do.
It is amazing. I still, everything happened so fast, which it sounds like for you, it also did, because we were also under the clock and or against the clock. And I felt like I didn't fully process what was happening because it was just so quick that I still have days where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I went through that on so many different levels of emotional pain and physical pain and financial pain. Ugh. It's
seriously,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
And then now you're like, I want to do this again.
Exactly.
Because of course, like, you know, we all want, I mean, most of us want kids, and, you know, it's the, I want to have the bond that I have with, you know, my daughter or son or daughters and sons, and that I had with my family, and, you know, that my husband has with his family. And that's like, you know, I want to be able to grow old and, you know, have kids there by my side that are going to have fun with me, party with me, look after me, change my diapers, you know?
Exactly. And I still feel, even though I've gone through this, I still feel confident that it's going to happen, because it's supposed to happen. This, most people, it happens. Most people don't go through this first.
Right.
But even the ones that do, there is the light on the other side. And
totally.
I believe it will happen with a healthy, happy baby for both of us.
Absolutely.
Do you have plans for October 27th, which would have been your due date?
Yeah. Our family friends started a tradition where on birthdays and holidays, they light candles in honor for all of their loved ones that have passed. So we've spent Thanksgiving with them, you know, many, many years. And we always light a candle for, you know, my father. And so I think that that's just going to be something that we continue to do and let, you know, our family and friends know that we're close to, that that's something that we will be doing. And if they would like to do it on that day and just think about her and, you know, pray for her and anything that they want to do to keep her memory alive, because that's also something that happens is you go through this and the days after you feel a ton of support and so much love. And then it it slowly goes away. Yet we're still sitting here and thinking about it every single day. And so it's just like, that will be a day where we can be like, okay, let's just remember her and, you know, what an amazing girl she would have been, and is living her best life in heaven. So, yeah.
That's really nice. That's really special. And I will also light a candle on that day. Special one for us also. And yeah. I think it's a really nice way to honor her. And I felt the same exact thing with in the days, couple weeks after, the amount of love and calls and texts and gifts that we got were so nice. And then people go back to their lives as they should, but
absolutely,
you know, you're still dealing with it every single day. So I think having that tradition every year to remind everyone else also that we're still struggling with this, and just absolutely. To honor her.
Absolutely. And if I do ever have a girl, her middle name will definitely be Evie.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so.
That's really special.
Yeah.
What gives you hope for the future?
Oh, gosh. I think just like if we don't have hope and faith, what do we have? So I just always want to have that. I want to think positively about what can happen, because I don't want to find myself in a deep, dark place, you know, of thinking that something's always going to be wrong. Now I've become very like spiritual from all this stuff. Like not really knowing what is on the other side, but having faith that, you know, there is something so much greater than this. And I know that somehow, some way, my dad will make sure that I have a baby that's beautiful and healthy and perfect. So
I believe it. I so believe it. It's destined to happen.
Absolutely. For you as well. And I cannot wait for the day when I see you post, you know?
Me too. I know. Same for you though, for sure. Thank you so much. I know this is not an easy thing to talk about, but I so appreciate you being open and willing to share it with me. One, it was comforting for me to know that somebody has gone through something so similar to me. And I know it's comforting for so many other women, because just like you said, you felt alone. I feel like so many people feel that, because people don't want to talk about it, or they're afraid how they'll be viewed. But I do think it's really important, because it brings comfort to other people. You don't feel alone. You know, other people are there, and it's therapeutic. So thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your story with me.
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, posting that and for starting a conversation, and the amount of shares that it got, like, especially in this difficult time when the Texas stuff is so triggering, and thinking about the women there that are going through a similar experience as us, and they won't have that opportunity, or they will, and they'll have to do it, you know, sneakily or in an unsafe way. It's really, really devastating. So thank you for bringing awareness to what an abortion can be as well. You know, not a typical abortion in what the terms everyone thinks it is.
Yeah, so exactly.
I truly like am very, very grateful for everything that you're doing and bringing awareness to this.
Thanks. I'm thrilled we connected. I wish you so much luck. I wish you so much healing. and I am a resource for you since, you know, we have this bond and we have a date even that's mm-hmm. just so similar. So
yeah,
be posted and just stay this radiant, vibrant person that you seem to be, at least on the outside. And I hope you're working your way on being that way on the inside too.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Unexpecting. Join our community by following us on Instagram at Unexpecting Podcast. If you'd like to share your story on our show, email us at unexpectingpodcast@gmail.com. You can support this podcast by visiting anchor.fm/unexpecting. Be kind to yourself, be patient, and remember, today's teardrops are tomorrow's rainbows. Take care.